And welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of papanewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood of luckymojo.com in Forestville, California, and Contraman of contramanconsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Papa G of folkmagicstudios.com in Nashville, Tennessee, bringing us today's topic on Is Contact Magic Dead? Afterwards, we'll take your calls to offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooist of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at form.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjureman. Miss Cat.
Hi, Papa Newt. How are things in your corner of the world? I know it's winter where you are.
It's cold, but all is well. Just moving right along. Just getting a lot of little projects finished up, especially today. So,
well, I'm sure that next time I ask you how you're doing, you'll tell us about some of those projects.
Yes, I will.
Well, I've been working very hard myself. I've been working on the video upload project to get our YouTube channel in order. And I want to put a big shout out to Deacon Millett and Andre Yashin for their incredible help. We have many more videos up since last week, and we are moving to a new program of one upload per day. So since we have 1,660 audio files to go, we are hoping to have all of this done as soon as possible, but it could take us a couple of years. So today I want to just really quick start with the winners on our giveaways. So the winner for last week's Hoodoo Psychics Magic Monday, that's a 15-minute free reading at Hoodoo Psychics on January 1st. The winner was Ryan Trin. So congratulations, Ryan. The winner for the Lucky Mojo Facebook Fridays contest was one Seven Circles of Dominion Command Compel Control Oils Pack. And there were seven oils in the pack, commanding, compelling, controlling, do as I say, domination, essence of bend over, and influence oils, all made by Lucky Mojo Curio Company. And the winner was Onye Yechi Ibubuchi. And we've messaged her from the Lucky Mojo Facebook page, and she will be getting her oils. So that's that news. In other things, I am going to be opening up my Patreon for donations to help with the video upload. If you've seen any of our videos, you'll notice there's a scroll of all the patrons. And if you get added to the patrons and help with the payment for the videos, your name will be appearing on the scroll in a few weeks as we keep on updating those scrolls. So if seeing your name in print makes you happy, give us a few bucks and we'll be happy. All right. So Balkan Diviner has a question in the chat before we go any farther. Can international clients be selected as winners in the Facebook Fridays? No, sorry, unless you want to pay postage. It costs too much to send things overseas. But the good news is you can win Hoodoo Psychics free readings. All right, and you can call into this show and get a free reading. All right, well, I'm going to bring in Conjureman. How are things with you today?
Things are doing quite well. Glad to be here. The new tech is working out a little bit. Excited to see more and more uploads. The chill has set in Southern California. I don't know how cold it is up there right now. It's always a little bit colder in Northern California, but it's getting chilly down here. It's been a nice break from climate change for sure, because I felt like we weren't going to have winter all of December. it really was like a very warm December in Southern California. But it's, you know, it's finally getting there. Excited to be here and very excited for this particular topic. I have some thoughts, we'll say. So I'm very excited to dive in.
Well, and of course, just to let people know in future times, you are not inside of the LA wildfire perimeter.
No.
So you're safe.
I'm not too far from it. Like it's about 30 minutes from where I'm at, but not within the evacuation zone. But it has been horrendous. Just seeing, and you can smell it everywhere. There's not like a lot of ash where I'm at, but you can, it smells burnt. Like you could smell the burning from where I'm at. It's bad. And apparently the winds are going to be picking up again in the coming week. So they're rushing to put the fires out as soon as, because the winds are what make it worse. They pick up embers and they sort of distribute it amongst it. And Southern California hasn't had rain in 8 months. So yeah. We're excessively dry right now.
Well, I was very sad to see that Will Rogers State Park burned down.
Yeah.
Will Rogers House, place where I spent a lot of fun days. I like to go there. It was a real enjoyment for me. Also, quite a lot of Pacific Palisades that I remember very well from the years that I lived in Southern California.
Some of the grounds of the Getty were damaged as well.
Yeah, there's just the vegetation. But yeah, it's been pretty bad. And, you know, it's very sad for all of those people. I myself have lost things in fire and in flood, and I know how hard it is to rebuild. The older you get, the harder it is. So do send money to help people. And also the, you know, the idea that we have to do something about dealing with overpopulation, which is part of the cause of this, all of those tightly boxed in houses so close to where the Santa Ana winds blow, somebody should have thought that out a little better before they allowed it to happen, but such is life. All right, well, I'm gonna bring in Papa G. How are you doing today, Papa G?
Good. I'm glad that now we did have snow here. It closed the store on Friday.
Oh my.
We were supposed to have 8 inches of snow, but it ended up being 4.
All right. Well, Papa G, I'm so glad to have you with us today. For those who don't know you, just tell us a little bit about your shop and who you are.
Let's see. I've been in the we'll say the metaphysical field going on 30 years now. The store, Remiges Botanica, is 25 years old this past August. And here in the South, we're like the second largest shop in the South. Everything you can possibly think of is in the store, which keeps us busy all the time. I am an author of, and a co-author with Kat, 14 books, and I continue to do candle magic for people, as I've done, I think now for 13 years since I took the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo correspondence course.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's 13 years now.
All right. Well, everybody should check you out online and in person if you're down there. All right. We have a topic. And our topic is contact magic. And actually, the question is, contact magic dead? Now, if you've seen the placard for this, you can sort of tell our opinion. We have here a nice grandmother laughing her ass off while she's cooking stew in the kitchen. And she's answering the question, is contact magic dead? No, not on your life. But we have had a kind of a meltdown of the younger and newer people practice magic, not understanding it. And I call it the post-COVID contact magic problem. So the impact of COVID pandemic was widespread, and the world isn't showing any return to the way of life it was before the lockdowns and closures. And this has led to the loss of contact magic in businesses, jobs, and offices. Tens of thousands of retail stores, restaurants, bakeries, amusement parks, music venues, comedy clubs, historical sites, museums, tourist destinations, and bookshops all over the world closed during the pandemic and never reopened. And those that did reopen have struggled ever since, because shopping has moved almost entirely online. and it's now brokered through the websites of a very few multi-billion dollar corporations. Hands-on service and face-to-face meetings, which came to a halt during COVID, have never come back to pre-COVID levels. This has had a disastrous effect on folk magic as well. In the pre-COVID days, all of us, conjure doctors, wise old ladies, root workers, and home practitioners, knew 100 different ways to perform contact magic, foot track magic, handshake magic, and how to dust a business or an office for success and better sales. All of this information, the result of hundreds of years of magical experimentation and sharing, particularly in the African American community, is irrelevant to half the people working in business today. Sure, house painters still fix their paints, and cleaners still fix their floor wash, and auto mechanics still wipe down the cars with a touch of this or that to bring in customers. But contact magic, the old sure way to increase sales, is hard to implement in a virtual world, a world without physical contact. This has affected my shop as well. Our online sales are robust, but walk-in shopping is not what it used to be. And it's not only about my business or yours. A whole encyclopedia of contact magic spells is becoming as outdated and obsolete as the art of hand crocheting doll clothes or resoling a pair of shoes. But without contact magic, handing out dressed business cards, walking into a meeting with a lucky mojo tucked up in your bra, snatching up your prospect's foot tracks or shadow, laundering your business clothes with money drawing bath crystals or a money herb tea, you're left with the prospect of working at a remove, which some folks called kissing through a handkerchief. So what do you do? Number one, get their photos and burn influence candles or candles dressed with influence oils and rolled in money drawing herb mix. But then don't stop there. Contact them while the candle burns and try to arrange an in-person meeting. Number two, get a street view photo of their office, their photo and your photo. Arrange them together to symbolize you meeting them at their office. Light an attraction vigil candlelight on the side with their photo and a crown of success vigil light on the side with your photo, or use two small candles, theirs dressed with attraction oil and yours dressed with crown of success oil. Pray your wish for them to see you, then telephone them. This is better than texting because they will hear your voice while the candles burn. Offer them something special if you meet. Number three, when you do go to see them, follow all of the old contact magic spells I've outlined and be sure that the special thing you offer them is dressed with powder, oil, or tea, bath, wash, as is appropriate for the materials. Now we come to the loss of contact magic in love and family matters. Just as the combination of COVID quarantining and the rise of the internet have interacted to shut down personal contact spells in business, so have changing social norms taken personal contact out of love spells. Instead of meeting at a nice restaurant, because the nice restaurants are now all out of business, people meet for dates online without any human contact. There are no cues of sight, sound or smell to pique your interest or to repel you. All you see is a curated image, and all you hear is a semblance of intimacy, and there is no waking up together the next morning. If you're lucky, you'll get a brief text. Strangely, for some people, this is enough. They're satisfied having a semi-imaginary lover who texts them regularly. They cling to these texts as if the representation of affection in words was a form of sexual love. And because of this, they are easily fooled by scammers, liars, cheaters, and players. The sad thing about this is that as a psychic, I get calls from people who wonder why texting while burning a candle just doesn't work. It's because reaching out is not the same as contact. Using a honey jar for something it was not intended for is a waste of time. So what can you do? Treat the electronic lover as an absent lover with come to me, return to me, or safe travel candle magic. Treat the electronic lover as an absent lover with a doll baby. And above all, for those who practice remote or distance magic, here's one firm warning. Do not give or send money to people who do not live with you in your home. Okay, now, as to contact magic itself, let's share some examples. And I'm going to turn this over to you, Papa G.
Well, I can tell you that, like, in the store, of course, I deal with people and show them how to do things. But I can tell you that while not specifically magic, COVID did change the way I do things. Because I really haven't done any readings in person since then. Because for a while there, it was scary, and I just got in that habit. And I recently taught, right before Halloween, my hex appeal class, and I caught RSV from someone in the class.
Oh, no.
So I was sick with that for 3 weeks. And it's changed the way we look at things and the way we deal with people and the way we touch them and how we interact with them. You were saying made me think of something I saw the other day. You know, you can now get an AI lover, an AI boyfriend.
Yeah. Well, one thing about them is you don't need to do contact magic on them because they are simply servitors.
You don't have to cook for them either.
That's right. Well, Conjurman, is contact magic dead for you?
No, not at all. I think contact magic is an incredibly important form of magic. The word contact magic or contagion magic actually comes from James Frazier, an anthropologist, who basically coined this idea that all magic kind of falls into two categories, sympathetic magic and contagion magic. People sort of forget that contagion magic isn't optional. It's actually an essential component of almost all folk magic globally. And Kat and Papa G, you can both attest to this, that when you do love work, for example, the less connection you have to that person, the less likely you are to, stack them as a lover. If you're working on someone, that's not to say candles are ineffective or whatnot, but at some point, you need to be able to touch that person. If you're in love with a person for 3 years and you can't touch them, you can't even go to their house to lay down some powders, you can't even work on their sock, then there's a problem, right?
Right.
This is an indication, not just of the sort of practical issues around contagion magic, but the fact that you don't actually have a spiritual link to that person. Contagion magic is rested on two principles, a spiritual and a social one. The spiritual is that the things that we have in proximity to ourselves influence or is tied to our souls. That is, if you put something in somebody's house that is in their proximity, it will influence them. If you lay out powders where they will walk through those powders, it will influence them. The practical is, if you can do none of that, then you have no real connection to that person. You don't. And yeah, I mean, this is why you can do 100 love spells on a celebrity and it may not work, because you don't have that contact with them. So yeah, I think some people have shied away from contact magic nowadays, but the lack of contact magic is going to explain why so many people do different workings and they fail. For me, one of my favorite forms of contact magic is to get rid of someone. If you're going to get rid of someone, you can burn candles on them, and sure, that can be effective. But one of the greatest ways to do it is to go and lay out hot foot powders. Mm-hmm. Or my favorite particular contact working is where you shove hot foot powders, red pepper, black pepper, salt into a blown out egg, and then you toss that egg at their front door. Not only does it come in contact with their property, but then they have to clean it up. They are going to touch that. They're going to come into contact with that. That spell has never failed to remove someone. Never failed for me. I've done it, I would probably say, at least a dozen times. Mm-hmm. And every single time, it works.
Also,
throwing a bottle of war water on someone's porch doesn't work if you're not near the porch.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we have some questions already, and I'm going to just put a little bit of a focus on those. Balkan Diviner asked about how to get someone from a distance to contact you. That isn't what we're really about today. Getting someone from a distance to contact you is different than contact magic. And by the way, I prefer to call it contact magic rather than contagion magic, because contagion carries implications of disease.
Also sympathetic magic.
Yeah. Right. Well, sympathetic magic I associate as being like doll baby magic, where you
like affects like,
and contagion magic really is something that's more able to be touched.
Yeah. Proximity magic is another way that it's called, or as you rightly said, contact magic is a much better way. Because it reminds people you've got to actually touch. there's got to be contact. The word contact there is not a symbolic, it's literal.
Right. So I'm going to give you an example. I wrote a web page called Foot Track Magic. It's at luckymojo.com/foottrack.html. And on that page, I have many, many examples of foot track magic. And if it cannot be posted in the chat, maybe it has to be broken up into segments. I think the chat doesn't like, there it is. It is there. Yay. Thank you. Papa Newt put it in. Okay. So if you read that page on foot track magic, it'll talk about scooping up people's foot tracks, about flipping their foot tracks, about throwing things in their foot tracks, peeing in their foot tracks. You can whip their foot tracks. They can be done for love, and it can be done for moving someone out of town. But here is a spell, and I think Shiva will put it through the chat. It's a breakup spell for those who don't live in a rural area and can't get someone's foot track. If you can't do contact magic on a love rival, so this is, you know, your boyfriend's other girlfriend, because you can't bury a breakup bottle under her doorstep, which is the traditional way, bury a breakup bottle in her pathway, or bury a breakup bottle in her pathway where she has to walk over it. Take a tiny, fragile bottle, such as a little medical vial, and fill that with a tiny breakup bottle spell and place it under the front or rear tire of her car. When she starts her car, she will drive right over it and crush it. And so that is contact through her car. Now, you could also, if you wanted to be very bold, you could put a little oil in your hands and oil her car door also with breakup. But, you know, considering that there are security cameras, this form of contact magic is difficult to do, foot track magic. So there are other forms of contact magic that are much easier to do. We've had shows before about culinary magic, cooking magic, and just to not go over those again, but just to go through them. The herbs we use in cooking have magical meanings. The manner of handling the food as we serve it has magical meanings. And even the directionality of stirring the food has magical meanings. So to stir something clockwise is to move it into the future. To stir something counterclockwise removes it to the past. To kiss or touch or even do a little bit more intimate contact with a piece of food before it is cooked or before it is served is very common, as long as it's not seen and doesn't affect the appearance or taste. So these are well-known ways of working. And of course, the herbs can be things like basil for a happy home, or you can use extract of roses for love in cooking. But we've done whole shows on cooking magic. And I'd like to get some more contact magic spells, perhaps, from Papa G.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the fact that you mentioned cameras. It's like now there's just cameras everywhere. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a camera, which makes it even harder to move anywhere without being seen. So, yeah, I mean, like presenting someone food would be easier than sneaking on their doorstep. But I was just thinking about dirt magic, about actually we've talked about before about going to a place maybe where both of you have been. We've talked before about going to a church to get dirt, mm-hmm. if you like where you were married to fix a marriage, or think from a riverbank to that's washing away, to eat away at someone's business. But yeah, what if you can't get to a person, or if you can't be seen, or there's cameras? Maybe there's somewhere you know that they go.
Yeah.
That like maybe you know they walk through their dog through a park. Mm-hmm. You know, we're getting all stalky here though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But maybe you know, if you happen to see them, maybe you know the path mm-hmm. they go and get some of that dirt.
Yeah.
To take with or spread your hot food powders mm-hmm. there. With the hope that that is the path they will take the next time they walk the dog. Yeah. Like there's no cameras in the park. I mean,
you know, one of the things I recommend, you're right, because cameras have increased dramatically and really in a short period of time, I would say the past 4 years, right? The Ring doorbells and all of that. One technique that I've recommended to clients is you actually want to take a very small envelope, I'm talking a very small one, and you put your dirt in there. So this is powder that you've mixed with dirt. Hold it in your hand at night and go for a walk. As you pass their house, have your hoodie up, just kneel down as if you're tying your shoe and open the envelope and pour it out. Most cameras aren't sophisticated enough to see that you're pouring something out. It will simply look like you've knelt down for a brief moment and you're tying your shoe. If you do it so that you do it on the inside so that the shoe actually blocks your hand, most people won't be able to tell what you're doing. You can walk past with your hoodie and it looks like it's just a walk, a person who's going on a nightly walk or something along those lines. You can also put your powders in chalk format, and that allows you to deploy it much easier in places. You can actually put a mark on a wall. You can walk past and mark without being seen by the camera as walking around their yard, sprinkling or digging in their yard and burying things.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, on a Christmas episode, we talked about mailing someone a Christmas card with powders.
That's great.
So that they will touch it, or a birthday card. And you don't have to put your return address. It could be, oh, who sent this? Mm-hmm. It's still touching. It's just not the two of you touching. Yeah. You know. You laid it out, then they touched it when they opened it.
But. Or junk flyers. This is people have junk flyers. You can print out a junk flyer and have a bunch of them in your hand that you fix and just walk by and sort of put it on their doorstep as if you're advertising something really silly, right? Like, or you can make one up or literally get one of the junk flyers that are out there, dust them with powders, and then leave that on their doorstep. They're going to walk over that. They're going to pick it up. And all you've done is left a junk flyer. No one, none the wiser.
Yeah. Now, this is an interesting too, because we think of, you know, the flyers as having to do with business, but these can be dusted for get out of town fast. You know, they don't have to be dusted for what the flyer is describing. Balkan Diviner says, one trick I use for my students is to anoint pencils with Crown of Success oil. That way they touch the pencils as they write the exercises. And that's certainly a good one if you're teaching people, a language or handwriting or anything like that, such as Balkan Diviner does. And Signe Hoffman-Swartley says, if you work with them in an office, puff the powder in their cubicle. Mm. That's good. And I think someone else previously mentioned peace water, which is really my go-to, to use peace water all around the bathroom, in the shared bathrooms in an office space or in a home or, you know, in any business. Peace water smells good. It doesn't, you don't want to overdose on it. Just give it a little spritz. I'd say Margaret Phyllis Gabor says, it was me. All right. Thank you, Margaret Phyllis Gabor, Miss Peace Water. Another thing we've of course mentioned before is floor washes. And to clean a space, you would make a floor wash. We usually use Chinese wash. And that is a good spiritual prayer work. But again, what if you don't have a lot of contact with people? You should at least be washing down with Chinese wash on a damp rag or whatever, your own working space, perhaps the edges of your computer, something that will get it done. But, you know, it's really only contact magic when someone contacts it.
Yeah.
Well, so, would you suggest several people have asked me in the past how to, if someone is resistant, they don't want to use like the Lucky Mojo 13 herb bath, they don't want to use hyssop, they don't believe in that, but someone wants to wash a jinx off of them. I mean, I do it remotely with a figure old candle and bathe them. What do the two of you suggest for?
Well, again,
something like that.
Since this show is about contact magic, presumably they are near enough for you to contact them. So you can take those herbs or a bath crystal, you know, such as Jinx Killer, put it in the laundry water and launder their clothes. And they will then be affected because they're wearing those clothes. That's contact magic.
Yeah. You could also, I guess, wash your, get a little hyssop on you and then wash your hands with their soap and put it back.
Yes, you could do that too. Also, you can, if you're living with someone, you can certainly do the laundry for the bed sheets and linens with love herbs and fidelity herbs or whatever's in your mind.
You can also give it to them as a gift. People love bath salt gifts. As you give it to them as like a, just like a, hey, this is, I made this at home. It's really good. It's nice and relaxing. And you're just giving it out in the office. You can totally do that. I had a client where I recommended it to them. You know, you might want to mix it up a little bit, but you can totally do so. So they added some Jinx Killer to bath salts, rose bath salts and whatnot. And they gave it out at a gift with a custom packet. Right? A little cute little custom packet with a bow on it. And they gave it out to people and said, it was a really, this is a soothing bath that you should use. And people used it. People used it.
So certainly sneaky tricks would work. We have a whole book on sneaky tricks. Yeah. And that would be by Miss Michael and me. And there's quite a bit in there about giving people gifts. So this goes to another thing, another form of contact magic is to touch and dress with your hands, your coins and change that you might hand out to somebody. If you are in a shop and somebody hands you the credit card that you're going to take and run through the machine, which, you know, depending on the venue you're in, you can quickly touch that a credit card and put a little prayer, come back soon, you know, and then give them back their credit card once you run it. There are many ways to do contact magic that people don't think about because they're not attuned to it the way they used to be. I also like to tell people, if you think it cannot be done, think of a way to do it. There's so many ways to do contact magic, you know, just having a little oil on your hand and clapping someone on the back. Hi, nice to see you. Can I give you a hug? You know, that is contact magic if you do it right. If you are afraid of it, it will not be something that's in your repertoire, but then your repertoire is becoming very, very limited because remote magic doesn't have the power of contact magic. So, Margaret Phyllis Gabor says, I dress my hands with Crown of Success before I wrap my friends' Christmas gifts. That's a real good one. And you can also wrap presents with Christmas wrap that's been dressed with love or peaceful home or whatever it needs to be. Another thing is, if you have people over for a party at your house, you can add a little bit of some kind of harmonious oil, such as Peaceful Home, to the water that you wash all the dishes that you're going to bring. It will not feel like oil if you just put a few drops in the sink and go for it. You know, they will pick up the plate, the fork, the spoon. It'll all be slightly dressed. And that's a good way to work to keep people happy.
Also, if you owe someone money, pay them back in cash that you've dressed instead of PayPaling them.
Mm-hmm. That's right, dressed cash. And that can also include a blessing for yourself. And as so you prepare the cash, you would say, as I'm going to give this cash to John Doe, so will John Doe buy more things from me, and so will my money grow. So you're basically doing a transaction there between your blessing of John Doe and then John Doe's blessing and other people's blessings of you and your money. Always say a little prayer when you dress things. Never dress them mechanically as if it was just a job, like, you know, using a scrubby. It's always done with a prayer.
There is another aspect to contact magic, and that is proximity, where they're not always directly touching the item, but the item is close to them. This is where you bury things, for example, in their yard. You place things within the home. And the idea is that by mere exposure to this thing, it's a subcategory of contact magic. By being exposed to this thing, it will continue to influence them. People do this by giving gifts. The gifts are then placed in the home. But of course, they've touched it. They do this by burying, whether they bury eggs or jars and bottles in people's yards. They do it by a variety of different means. But the way that successful magic, if we can use that word, works, someone asked this about, like, is distance magic not successful? Of course it's successful. But if you look at how conjure doctors in particular have worked, if they can't get access to a client, they start with sort of sympathetic magic, candle magic, etc. at first, until they gain access to that person. So if you're doing a love working, you start off by burning those love candles to draw that person to you. Then once you draw that person, you know, shows up at the coffee shop that you're in. Then you move to the next stage, and there's almost always this idea that you seal the sort of working with some type of contact magic. So, for example, in the case of this love working, you start off with burning candles, you eventually get to meet this person, and then you give this person a tricked gift. They touch that gift, that is the contact magic, and they keep the gift in the home, that is proximity, and it continues to work on them so that every time they see it, every time they touch it, they're reminded of you. So contact magic can actually be long-lasting. It's more than just touching a person. It's more than just laying out some powders. It can be something permanent. It could be something put in someone's house. One way you can do this is to bury something very small, like an herb bundle, in a potted plant and giving that potted plant as a gift, or actually taking the dirt of the potted plant and mixing it with the powders. If you don't want them to dig up that potted plant and find that herb bundle, not a problem. Take your powders, mix it with the dirt of the potted plant, give that potted plant as a gift, and then so long as they have that potted plant in their house, it will continue to influence them.
Yeah, potted plant magic is an amazing thing. Also, we do discuss it in the book Bottle Up and Go, and there's a bunch of instructions there for potted plant magic. But you can also give people a gift of flowers. And if these flowers come in a vase, that, you know, one of those nice but disposable vases, for instance, with water in it, you can already dose the vase inside by putting a little bit of some magical oil or bath crystal in it. Don't put too much because you don't want to harm the flowers. But you can also spritz the flowers with a little bit of, say, peaceful home or love. Mm-hmm. And you can also stroke, depending on what kind of flowers they are, you can stroke the stems and so forth. So there are many ways to dress flowers. When you give a gift of flowers, they also have meanings, just like the herbs and cuisine magic we discussed earlier. Flower magic is a whole thing in of itself. And there's a whole web page, which I hope someone will post the URL for, that we have called the Floral Oracle, which was put together by Maya and Nagashiva, and it's ongoing. We're well over 100 flowers and their meanings. Every one of them has a meaning. This dates back to the mid-19th century. It's called The Language of Flowers. And so if you give somebody a gift of flowers, whether or not they know the meaning, you know the meaning. However, since they're all online now, they can always look them up and find out what your intention is. So be intentional when you give a gift of flowers. And, you know, it's a good thing to do. There are other things that are given as gifts that are very impromptu, such as being out with somebody, seeing a pretty pebble just in the ground. And I think I've mentioned before, I live in the land of jasper. There is so much jasper where I live, and it's so beautiful that, you know, you, oh, look, there's a pretty piece of jasper. And you hold it in your hand, and you're wishing on it, And then you say, look to your friend, look what I found. Look at this cute piece of jasper. And you put it in their hand. You've just given them your wish and dream and hope in that piece of jasper. They probably will hand it back to you. Then you keep it. Now you've got something that they touched. So anything can be done that way, impromptu. And forgive me for always mentioning jasper. I just have to say, those who know it, love it. And it's not the same as chert, I'll tell you that. Having lived in the land of chert, I missed my jasper so much, I had to come back to California to be surrounded by the beautiful jaspers of California.
Well, can I put in a word for a sneaky trick that I think is really great for getting people in contact with magic? And that is giving them a gift of their own picture. Mm-hmm. You give them a gift of their own picture. You can dress, anoint, and pray over the picture frame. You can put something behind the picture frame. That's a little trickier because they may open it up. But you can certainly dress and anoint and pray over and fix the picture frame. Everybody likes getting pictures of themselves, especially if it's a good picture. Put it in a nice frame and give it as a gift. You've now done some contact magic. Not only have you done contact magic, but you've also built that proximity, because so long as they keep that photo, it will remind them of you, and they will continue to touch it and think of you and whatnot. And this can be done for good. This can be done for ill. This can be done for healing. If you want to, for example, heal someone, this is a really powerful way of doing it, and they will have this healing object. These ways of sort of building contact, but then also reinforcing that contact through proximity, are incredibly effective.
You can also, if you're gifting someone like a picture in a frame or something, most pictures are white on the back side. You can write out a spell, a petition, whatever, in white chalk on the on the white back surface. And they'll never see it.
That's a good one. Yes. Writing on the back of a picture in white, will not see it. Margaret Phyllis Gabor says, I received a rock tumbler for Christmas, and of course it came with jasper. Where do you live, Margaret Phyllis, where they sent you jasper? That's just a funny thing to think about. I know it's found all over the world, but I think of us as, you know, the epicenter of all jasper. I would love a rock tumbler. If someone wants to give me a rock tumbler for Hanukkah next year, I'd accept it.
I think the sound would drive me crazy.
Oh, I would do it someplace out in one of the sheds. You know, we have sheds out here. Shiva just posted rock tumbler check. Margaret Phyllis Gabor says she lives in Pennsylvania and it was a Nat Geo kit. And I know the jaspers came from here. Just saying. Do you know, I used to have a huge collection of tumble polish jaspers. I wanted to collect the whole set. It turns out there is no whole set. There's too many kinds. All right. But just like you could give someone a stone, you can also give them a coin. And this is one that I've used where you are down where the parking meters are, and you're supposed to put a quarter in, whatever. Now, some of them have been converted to plastic, you know, but there's still ones that you put actual money in. And you say something like, hey, I need a quarter for the parking meter. Can you give me one? You put your hand up. They'll put a quarter in your hand. Now you just do a little bit of stage magic, and you palm their quarter, and you put your quarter in, and now you've got their quarter. And again, that's something that's money that they gave you from their own hands, which can be used in money magic and also in love and money magic. Where, in other words, may my husband be more generous financially and sharing our wealth together. Or it could be a business person and you say, oh yeah, now let them give me a contract for some job.
You mentioned if you invite people over like for like a party or something, if let's say you go out to lunch with someone, even if it's fast food, be the courteous one to, I'll throw away the trash, and then you pocket their straw.
Oh yes. Oh, that's a good one. Restaurant magic. We should probably do a whole thing on restaurant magic. There are so many ways you can do that. The straw is good because they've touched it to their lips. I've known people to steal the spoon that someone ate with. It's not nice for the restaurant, but it's good for the worker. It's not impossible. If it's a plastic spoon or something, fine. That's good. But I know people who actually, you know, took the silver plate. So stolen spoons and things like that. For instance, just as an example, if you steal the spoon that someone stirred their coffee with and you take it home and now you're stirring your coffee with the spoon that they use, first of all, you're going to kiss it and you can use it. But if you want them to call you, you could put it in the coffee and stir it clockwise and say, now wake up and call me, right?
I'm sitting here thinking of all sorts of absurd things. You're out to dinner with someone, they have to go to the restroom, switch places and sit in their seat for a minute.
That's
magic or something.
Oh, yes. And there's also, of course, the famous one, which is a sort of a teasing girl magic where you're saying something like, oh, I really like that hat of yours. Can I wear it for a moment? And you put your their hat on your head. And then you say, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. And they go, my hat. And you go, I'll be right back. And you take the hat into the bathroom. You pull down your panties. You rub the inside of the hat with your pussy. Put the hat back on your head or don't. And just give it back and say, oh, I didn't like your nasty old hat anyway. And just put it on their head, sort of flirty. And they will now be completely obsessed with sex with you because your pussy is now on their head. That's a good one. And I've done it. You can also do it with a man's shirt or jacket. Oh, I'm so cold. Can I just, you know, just loan me your jacket? And you know, gotta go to the bathroom. And that's a great way to work. Mm-hmm. Also, if you manage to forget that you borrowed it and now you have it at home, you can do some serious magic with that piece of clothing in the home. And if it's sex magic, you can rub that thing all over your body and all the intimate parts and do anything intimate you want with it before you give it back to them. So they then will receive from you, oh, here's your jacket back.
Right? Yeah. There was a particular working, if you borrow a person's jacket and you sleep in that jacket alone, you sleep naked in that jacket, they will, and then you give it back to them, they will always remember you. They will always think of you. They will dream of you. So it's a very old timey working, very great. And I know women that do this quite a bit. They borrow a person's jacket or the person they're interested, their hoodie, and they'll just wear that as their pajamas and then give it back. And it works quite well.
Yeah. There's ways to do this that isn't sneaky too. For instance, to keep fidelity with a distant lover who's going away on a trip, you know, just say, can I just keep your t-shirt to smell? Mm-hmm. And, if they're compliant with that, you know that they're still interested in having you as part of their life while they're far away. And I know people who, when separated for a amount of months, would actually send each other shipments of their underwear.
Yes. Oh, yes.
That has been worn.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you could do it very intentionally and openly. Like if someone's going on a trip, you can give them your shirt that you've put your scent on. And that can be, you're literally a fixed perfume. Get some perfume, put Queen Elizabeth root in it, a little bit of your sexual fluid in it, and spray it on your shirt and be like, I'm giving you this so that you remember this. I'm giving you this so that you think of me when you're on this trip. So, you know, it can be a sort of cutesy little ritual, but it's also a fixed shirt that you've now given to that person. It's a shirt that you've worn, a shirt that you've sprayed with fixed spray, your fixed perfume. And it will continue to work on them. And I've know people who have received shirts like this, and they've literally put it on pillows and slept next to them. So like, I miss my girlfriend, or I miss my wife. It does work.
Yeah, it's a good fidelity trick. And it can be done with intentionality, for sure. Margaret Phillips Gabor says, I have sent used clothing. Men like the idea. So the women, I've done it. Many people have done it. And it's not just the pheromones and the scent. There's also contact magic. Remember, never do any magical act mechanically. Always pray over it. Always say what your intention is. Breathe into it. So, yes, that t-shirt was worn by you, but hold it and focus your prayer into it before you send it. because the prayer goes with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I wanted to mention something going back to the idea of cameras and the fear around contact magic and the fear around laying powders and dirts. I'm going to give you a trick from my bag of tricks. This is a little bit of a trade secrets here. If you're afraid of laying down powders because you're afraid of cameras, you can actually fix a stick. Get a stick, dress it with the powders that you want, the oils that you want, pray over that stick, and throw that stick in their driveway or their yard. It's just a stick. No one will see it. No one will know it. Or if it's in their driveway, they'll step right on it. They'll pick it right up and toss it out of their way. It's far less conspicuous than, say, a line of powders or a line of dirt. And you can do that very easily. I've known people who drive by and just throw the stick out their window into that person's drive yard. And it's just a drive, you know, it's just a stick. No one thinks anything the wiser of it. But it's a way of getting them in contact with it if you're afraid of things like laying down powders or burying things. Like, for example, let's say you can't bury a bottle in someone's jar and in someone's yard because you're afraid the camera will pick up. Well, what you can do is you can fix a stick. That is, you can put powders on it, oils on it, pray over it, and then you can drive that stick in someone's yard. That takes literally 2 seconds as you walk by, or just toss the stick into their front yard.
You can also do it with other, you know, pine needles, leaves, yep, whatever it might be. Yeah,
pine cones, yeah.
Pine cones are good. If there's something around in the neighborhood that would be natural to find there, it just will carry the contact magic with it. Oh, and one more that reminds me of is dressing people's pets fur. Mm. So let's say you love a guy and he has a golden retriever and you want to make friends with his dog, but again, put some Love Me oil on the hands and then pet the dog, right? And then just say, you know, as he loves this dog, so will he love me. Now, you know he's going to pet his dog and that's going to convey it. Be careful when you do this that you don't put on anything that is strong or could damage dog skin. They have much more sensitive skin than humans. So make it very mild, very weak. Cut it with a little bit of coconut oil or almond oil. Make it weak. But that will always get them to love you. And you can use this in custody cases too when exchanging children. Dress the children's hair and the other parent will pet the child.
There's also a two-parter for a job interview. It was mentioned about the pencils with crown of mm-hmm. success to when you're filling out an application, do that, have it in your hands. But also when you finally get the interview, wash your hands with some sort of, well, first of all, success oil or powder, and also something that would that causes influence. And then most people, when they interview, if you offer your hand to shake it, they're going to shake it. They're not going to mm-hmm. turn it down.
Right. That's a very important one. That we talk a lot about getting jobs by looking someone in the eye, but shaking their hand is good. It's very important. If you have like the old job getting one with the gravel root and the salt, you have that in your pocket, you squeeze it and just get a little of that feeling of the salt and the gravel root on your hand, wipe your hand as you come up and shake their hand, look them in the eye. So the last thing your hand touched was gravel root and salt, and now it's going to touch their hand. But it could also be your mojo for money or your mojo for success. You have your mojo in your pocket, you squeeze your mojo, and then come up and shake their hand.
People have asked me about court work, about, you no longer can chew some John and then spit it on the courtroom floor. I always tell them, get some galangal and chew it on the way to court. Mm-hmm. And then when you open your door, spit it in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a whole thing about putting stuff around the courtroom door if you can't get in the court, about the courthouse door, I should say. And that's a good one, the parking lot, or around the four corners of the building, or however you're going to do it. Those are good ways to work, to prepare things. You know, when talking to people about contact magic, and, trying to keep this alive. And thank you, too, for also caring about contact magic, because so many people, you know, they go, well, what kind of candles should I burn? And I really want them to go back, listen to this show, listen. I mean, we were able to, we could have gone another hour with more contact magic spells. It's not that hard. And it's very much a matter of joining that tradition, being a part of that tradition, and having the courage to not worry about the security cameras, not worry about COVID or contact, but just to go through this with what you can. I'll give you another one before we close off. A lot of restaurants have a tip jar. If you have a tip jar in your restaurant or in your business, you're always seeded with money, right? You always put in a couple of bills and a couple of coins so that people know, hey, it's a tip jar, right? All of that money has to come out of the till, because it was money that was brought to the business. The waiters don't put in their own money. So you take that money, sprinkle it up over with some magnetic sand that has sat on a lodestone, whatever, shake that off, and then say, this money draws more money, and put it in the tip jar. It will draw in more money. Also, a really neat way to work is pretend you don't have change in the till. Oh, I owe you three more cents. I don't have any in the till. Let me just grab them out of the tip jar. Take them, put them in their hand, right? And so that's a good way. And sometimes people have a little sign, take a penny, leave a penny. They will. They'll take a penny and leave a penny. Oh, you don't have enough for this. It's only because of the tax. You owe us another five here. Just take it out of the tip jar. We'll cover it. But they're handling it. They're handling it. And now you've got some money that they touched. All right. Well, my gosh. I think we have certainly covered this topic thoroughly. I want to thank you, Conjurer G.
Great topic.
Thank you, Conjurer. And thank you, all the people in the chat. You've all helped immeasurably.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line ran entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted rootwork instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to and take our today's client, and we're taking our client today from our live stream chat. And today's client is Miss Moody from New York. Miss Moody, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello, welcome.
It's so nice to hear all of you again.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you, and thank you for listening to us. Just a few quick questions. Have you ever had a reading with Miss Cat, Conjure Man, or Papa G before?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Excellent. And here I see you wrote, my daughter just moved from Dubai to New York after 5 years and started school here in New York. She has kids who are fighting in school. Can I do some protection work for her, a talisman or a bag? Turn it back to you, Miss Cat.
All right. Well, Miss Moody, as you know, the way this show works, we're going to do two quick readings, and then we're going to all get a free spell going, and then we'll jump in with some more suggestions for free spells, since this is definitely a contact magic question. So I'm going to limit my reading, make it pretty brief, and see what kind of magic should be used. So what I mean by that is I'm going to use the suits of the cards to help me pick the kind of magic to do. Well, first card I get is Justice. So justice is justice magic. So you should be focused on justice for the children and for balance and fairness. This card shows a woman holding a sword. That is protection. and holding a balance beam scale that is making everything even and normalizing the situation. So I'm going to say that we probably should do some protection, and we also should do some social outreach magic based on this card. The second card I have is a card that is called the Sun. So this is great because this is a child riding on a horse with the sun behind, sunflowers blooming, and the child is waving a red flag or cloth, has a feather in their cap, has flowers in their hair, and is riding on an old gray mare, a percheron as it is. And the mare is usually the mother or grandmother of the child. The child is happy and confident. To me, this would indicate we would want to do something with cloth, particularly red cloth. And you mentioned a mojo already, so that's kind of cool. And red feather, there's some ideas here of joy and childhood. The third card I have for what kind of spell work should be done is a good one too. Now, she has kids. How many children does she have?
One.
Oh, okay. I said kids. Oh, she has kids who are fighting in school. So
two boys and they were fighting with each other and it got pretty violent. The teacher got thrown on the floor.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next card I have here is a card that is also not so much about contact magic. This one is called the Three of Wands and it represents candles. And so this would be candle magic. It shows that things will change for the better, but it's going to take some time. And it shows three little ships coming in and perhaps a triangle of candles. I might suggest using a triangle of candles to bless whatever you're going to carry. So card number one, justice. Card number two, the sun. And card number three, the Three of Wands. So there is a way to work on this that is going to help. I'm going to leave this reading as it is and move on because I think we're going to come up with a bunch of contact magic spells, and the spell section of this might run a little long, and we'll see how that goes. So I'm going to turn this over to Papa G. What do you see?
Hello, Miss Moody. I pulled three cards while Kat was talking, and the first one actually indicates the fighting that's going on. It's the Five of Wands. Now, a lot of people think of this as like a sporting card, but it can be a bunch of people arguing. It shows, five men holding five sticks. It can be an argument, a disagreement, or competition. And the second card, I think that's just a nod to, the fighting that's going on. The second card is the Magician, which agrees, do magic.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one to me is it's the Chariot, which it holds, shows him holding in some decks, shows him holding reins, making things steer forward. To me, it means that you would actually do magic consistently over maybe you would do something a little bit every week, whether it be protection oil on backpacks or something like that. It would be just to do it consistently.
Mm-hmm. I have another question before we turn this over to Conjure Man. How old is your daughter?
She's 16.
16, okay. All right. So what's interesting to me is we got a lot of trump cards here. Out of six cards, we have four that are trumps. And that's interesting because that shows that there's a lot of possibility for powerful work. And the Chariot also implies to me the possibility of astrological work because of all of the signs of the zodiac and the stars and moons that are on it. All right, I'm going to turn this over to Conjureman, and he's going to give us a spell. And also, one more thing. The Three of Wands, which I got, and the Magician, which Papa G got, are the reverses of the same card. Just to let you know, that's sort of interesting. They both show magic being done. All right, so Conjureman, If you come up with a spell, I think we're going to all pile on with more contact magic spells, okay?
I think this is great. Yeah, so I'm going to give you some really classical work from old school conjure, recorded by anthropologists and root workers and conjure doctors, that's worked for protecting children, and it's been used for generations. What you're going to do is actually create a small protection packet. You're going to take a red flannel bag, and you're going to put into the red flannel bag flax seeds, basil, salt, marjoram, mint, and lemongrass. And what this will do is create a nice protective mixture. Flax seeds protects children, basil removes evil, salt is protective, marjoram protects the family, mint drives away evil, lemongrass is naturally protective. So you're going to pray over each one of these as you put it into a red flannel bag. You can add a small silver dime as well. If you'd like, you add that small silver dime, praying over each one of these things as you put it in the red flannel bag. Now, rather than tie and knot it as you normally do with a mojo bag, you're actually going to take red thread and you're going to sew the top of this bag closed while you recite Psalm 91, so that as you're sewing, you're praying the protection into the bag, closing it up. This is going to create a small protection packet. You're going to place this on a surface, like Ms. Cat mentioned, and you're going to put three white candles in a triangle around it. Anoint those candles with protection oil, and again, recite Psalm 91 as you burn that candle down. Then you're going to give this to the child to keep them safe. Since they're 16, it can be put in the pocket. If they're open to it, as long as they keep it, you want to pray and fix this protection packet at least once a week. You're going to give it a little bit of Hoyt's cologne. You're going to feed it a little bit of protection oil. If the child is uncomfortable with this, you can actually sew the protection packet into their backpack. You can sew it into the backpack so that it's there. So long as they carry the backpack with them, they will be remained safe. So you can do it two ways. If they're open to it, you can just give it to them as an actual talismanic object that they carry. Otherwise, it can be a more sneaky one that you sew into the backpack. Now, the next thing that I want you to do is take some bay leaves, and you're going to burn this to ash as you recite Psalm 91 again. You're then going to take the ash, and you're going to mark the soles of this person's shoes so that every step they take, they're going to be safe and protected. This is called stepping over evil or protection through steps. It's an old-timey working and allows people to navigate difficult situations. So that if the environment is dangerous, that is that they're getting in fights or there's conflict or whatnot, the shoes will act as a talismanic object. So you anoint or you mark the shoes with the ash that has been burnt down. The combination of the talismanic object and the ash will help keep this person safe from any harm. The third and final thing that I would recommend is blessing their heads. And so what you're basically doing is creating protection from head to toe. Before the child leaves, and this is very traditional and old school conjure, you find it particularly in Black families in the South, you take a little bit of holy oil in your hand and you touch their head and you pray from your heart. You pray for your ancestors, you call upon the Lord, you ask that they be protected and blessed wherever they go. So it's a little bit of holy oil on your hand. You just anoint their head with it. You touch their head. Some people actually rub it into the hair. Some people mark it under the forehead. But the act of contact, the act of touch here, is going to protect them. So this is actually contact magic three different ways. You're creating contact magic through the shoes. The talisman is a physical proximity magic. And you're physically touching them by blessing their heads. So you give them a protection talisman, protection packet. You bless their shoes and you bless their head. And that way they will remain safe wherever they go, wherever they do.
Those are really, really good. I love this. And Conjure Man, if you've noticed, usually, almost always, probably always, gives his spell work in threes. And he did a workshop at the Hoodoo Heritage Festivals called Conjuring by Threes. And you can buy that workshop as a video from him. And it's $25. It comes with a PDF of instructions about how and why that you work three things together to make a spell of any kind, whether it's for love or money or protection. So thank you for conjuring by threes. I really think that is a great thing, and the workshop that you gave was fantastic. Now I'm going to throw in a couple of other things. Because I'm a talismanic gal, I also would give the child some dressed jewelry. Now this can be any kind of jewelry that the child likes to wear. You don't need to say, I'm going to make you wear a St. Michael protection medallion because you must. That's not the way to go with it. Let them pick out a piece of jewelry that they like. It can be a necklace. It can be a ring. It can be a bracelet. It can be a pair of earrings. It can be anything that you can dress and pray over. Again, we talked about this set of three candles. I would add the jewelry into the triangle of candles. And I would also possibly dress those, either sprinkling them with some herb mix and then, you know, shuffling it off, or with powders, or dressing them with oil, depending on what they are. Oil will go on most metals if you do it very lightly. And these would be talismanic pieces dressed for protection. They could be, of course, religious icons or items. They could just be a little gold ring. You know, it could be anything. Some of the stones or gemstones that are used for protection, for instance, amethyst is used for protection. And there are others that can be used as protection against anger and so forth. Just look them up in any list of gemstones. But I would try that as a way to work and tell the child, if danger threatens, to touch that talisman and get some power off of it. So instead of just protection, you might also want to put guardian angel oil or some sort of powerful protection on the talisman. So let me turn this over to you, Papaji. What would you add?
I was just thinking I would actually, on your daughter's shoes, use hot foot powder in a way that is the complete opposite of what you would normally use it for. Where your prayer, your intention is, of course, not to hot foot the daughter away, but to keep anyone who means her harm away from her. That they will not fall, they will not walk behind her, they will not walk in her vicinity, they will not approach her. It's the exact opposite of how hot foot is used, but if you put your own prayer and intention and spin on it, it's to keep away anyone who would bring harm within her vicinity.
See, now there's another product that I would prefer, and it's called Fear Not to Walk Over Evil.
Yeah.
That one is a very rare product. Not many people make Fear Not to Walk Over Evil, and we don't sell a lot of it either. But it comes from Columbus, Georgia, and it really, and I bought the recipe from the guy who made it. I swear by that stuff, and I would probably use that, but that's just me.
You know, what you can do, because taking Papa G's recommendation of adding a little bit of fire, I'm a little bit old school with when it comes to hot foot. I only use it in particular ways. Mm-hmm. But I like the idea of including fire or that type of heat, that type of pressure that Papa G is talking about. So what I would actually do is take dried ginger and mix it with the bay leaves and burn that to ash, and then use the ash to adding the bay leaf for protection and then that fire to drive everyone away. Ginger has a really powerful protective edge to it. It can both heat stuff up, but it's also traditionally used to drive away or add fire to your protective works. So you can burn a little bit of dried ginger and that ash can be mixed and dressed in this way that Papa G mentioned, so that you're quite literally creating a fiery wall that drives people away. For me, a firewall of protection, in my opinion, just smells a little too strong.
Yes.
It's great. I love it. It's great on a candle. It's just not one of those products that I would put on like shoes or whatnot. You smell it. You smell it because it's fiery and it's great. But what you could do is do fiery wall of protection at home while mixing that ginger and bay leaf and burning it to ash, and then using that on the shoes to drive away and creating a link between the ash and the fiery wall at home. So that way they're not walking around going, what the hell is that smell? You smell so fiery.
Yeah.
But the ash would work really well in that regards while you burn fiery wall of protection at home.
A don't mess with me concoction.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I like that.
Yeah. The other thing that you can think about when you're protecting a child. Does the child wear hair ornaments or braid their hair? And you can, if you braid the child's hair or fix the hair in any way, you can again oil your fingers. And I agree, fiery wall of protection is really not so great to wear. It is very strong. It's great for locations, though. And there's, you know, you just want to be subtle. Just be subtle.
Yeah.
But there is guardian angel oil and protection oil, which can be used also to braid the hair or to dress hair ornaments. And I would suggest those. The final thing that I would want to do is to write down the names of the violent children. And this is a little bit more proactive, okay? So find the names of the violent children. Write their names on papers. If you can find their birth dates, good. If you can find their photos, good. Anything about the violent children, they should each be on a separate piece of paper, not put together. You can take those and put them in a bottle and throw them in the river. They will, and with a wish, may they move out of my child's life. May they move away. May they go. May they be gone. Now, you could, if you were very strong-minded and they were very violent, you could put in some driveway or hot foot or something in there to make them go faster. You don't want to be killing children. That's not really just. And remember, the first card I got was justice. So, but you do want to be able to move them out. Another way you can move them out, if you live near a train track, get some duct tape, put their names on small pieces of paper, put it to the duct tape, but leave an extra band of the sticky part of the duct tape out. Walk up to any boxcar, slap your hand on it, leave the duct tape with their names on it, and say, give them a salute. I see you out of town. Where this train goes, you will go. And that's just another way to get rid of people gently, but not hurt them. Right?
That's great.
Yeah. The third thing that I would suggest, in addition to, okay, we've protection, we've gotten disposing of those children or moving them on, let's call it, not disposing. But the third thing would be to consult with the authorities and use five finger grass to have the authorities see things your way. All right. Whew. Well, that was really a great question, Ms. Moody, and thanks for giving us a chance to use our chops.
LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LeFay, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays. And The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, Thursdays, 4 to 5. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
And a little details on what's coming up this week on the LMC Radio Network. On Tuesday, Crystal Silence League will be the topic of silent influence and working crystals. Tuesday, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, Ask a Witch number 5. Wednesday, The Now You Know Show, Orlando, Florida, and more. Thursday, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, Triple Goddess, Demeter, Persephone, and Hecate. And then Sunday, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour will be Lukianos on the topic of toxic herbs and magic. And now it's time for our free spell segment with Papa G of FolkMagicStudio.com in Nashville, Tennessee. Take it away, Papa G.
Thank you, Papa Newt. This spell, as I go through it, you're going to think, this isn't contact magic, but we can turn it that way towards that in the end of it. I was thinking if someone had a long distance relationship and they hadn't seen someone in a while, wanting to make a psychic connection with them in communication. So I call this the whispering feather spell. And what you're going to need is some small feathers. I mean, like the kind that you would, the pillows used to be stuffed with, light and airy. And they're going to symbolize your messages. You'll need 3 blue candles, like a little chime or spell candles. You'll need grains of paradise, a stick of incense. Grains of paradise are to help your wishes come true. Also, bone set to open the lines of communication. And wormwood for psychic visions and remote contact. A little small dish. A small blue or white fabric bag. And a photo of the person you want to communicate with, or a name paper. If you don't have a printer, you don't have their photo, just write their name 7 times on a piece of paper. So in the dish, place the feathers and sprinkle on top of them the grains of paradise, the bone set, and the wormwood. Place your target's photo or their name paper underneath the bowl. So next, you're going to form a triangle around the bowl using the blue candles. So while blue is for communication, the triangle itself can represent movement, direction, progression. And light the candles, starting with the bottom right of the triangle. The bottom left. You start with the bottom left. I wrote these directions backwards. You start with the bottom left, light that candle, move up to the top point of the triangle and light that candle, then down to the bottom right. Look down at this lit triangle, and what this represents is the message being sent. The top of the triangle is your message received. So that bottom left is you sending the message. It goes up to the top of the triangle for the message to be received, and then back down to the bottom right is the message being sent back. So you can follow that triangle over and over. If you have a wand, you can do it that way. Do it with your mind, your finger. But when they've all finished burning, empty the bone set, the grains of paradise, and the wormwood into a bag, along with one of the feathers and your target's picture or their name paper, and tie it off. And you're going to keep that bag near your telephone or place it where you charge your cell phone. And the last thing you do is take the remaining feathers and incense outside, and while facing the east, you light the incense and set the feathers free on the wind. This is laid out in a way like you just can't communicate with them. You can't have contact with them. But if you take some of those ingredients that you use and grind it into a fine powder and dust a thinking of you card and then send it to them, to me, that would make some sort of contact and would actually open the lines of communication even further, sort of finishing off the spell.
Okay. So as I understand this, you start at the left, you go up at the top and then down to the right and then back to the left, right?
Correct.
So that's clockwise. So this goes along with the very basic principle, clockwise, like a clock, influences the future. And if you were trying to remove somebody, you would do it the other way, from right to top to left, or you could even have the triangle facing down and you would go from top right to top left to down and then start over again. And those are ways of working that are very basic to folk magic that everyone who uses folk magic should have imprinted in them and not have to ask, which way am I going? Clockwise for the future, counterclockwise for the past. Okay. That's really great. Now, grinding these to powder, you mentioned that grinding them to powder. And I think we're going to take a moment here, because we are talking about contact magic. What do you use for grinding things to powder? We have here quite a little list of things. We have feathers, grains of paradise, bone set, and wormwood. Okay, now feathers are going to be hard to grind. The grains of paradise are hard to grind. Boneset and wormwood, not a problem. Do you use an electric grinder or do you hand grind them in a stone mortar and pestle, old school style? What do you do?
Yeah, you know, I get a little tech, little techie when it comes to the I use an electric grinder. Mm-hmm. Because you're only going to use one of the feathers. The others you release to the wind. So maybe you can get that ground up pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I always tell people, too, when you grind herbs for a magical purpose, clean that with like Florida water or something afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to leave dust and things. You don't want to mix your spells up.
Well, that brings us to something else that I want to consider basic also. I was taught that it really works better if you use a hand mortar and pestle. And so you're going to sort of smash those grains of paradise and then just start grinding. And yeah, put one small feather in there. It'll grind up okay. But I was taught that you have different mortars and pestles for different types of spells. So in other words, I would have a mortar and pestle for love magic. I'd have a mortar and pestle for hatred magic. Maybe a mortar and pestle for protection magic. At least those three. I don't need 9 different mortars and pestles. We just count it to 3. And I would also have a mortar and pestle for toxic herbs that's separate, that's just toxic. Just toxic, because you don't want to be putting toxic herbs with herbs that you're going to sprinkle on people or in their food. And we're going to be talking next week with Lukianos about the use of toxic herbs, or what's called the poison path. And we're going to get into the necessity for having these different grinders mortars and pestles.
And you can choose different mortars and different colors to let you know, hey, the white is for the good, the mm-hmm. black ones
for bad, and the green ones for money.
And the red ones for love.
Yeah.
The broken one is for the poison.
For the poison. I use cast iron for the poison ones. A real old Civil War cast iron mortar. All right. Well, Papa Newt is going to come in with our announcements, and then we're going to all come back and have a little bit more stuff to tell, and then we'll all say goodbye. So take it away, Papa Newt.
Thank you, Miss Cat and Conjureman, and thank you, Papa G of FolkMagicStudio.com in Nashville, Tennessee, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers will be Lukianos of Lukianos.com in Baltimore, Maryland, bringing us the topic on toxic herbs and magic. Once again, we come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Cat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjureman at conjuremanconsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour can be heard every week via YouTube live stream at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
All right. Thank you, Papa Newt.
You're welcome.
And, I'm going to return to the theme that we've been trying to get across here. This show is live. It's going to be taken down. It'll be corrected. It'll have added video, and you'll be able to see it within 1 week. But in the meantime, we're doing one show per day.
Yay!
So, okay. We really would like some contributions and donations from the public. We have 1,600 shows to do. It's a job and a half, and we just love you all for helping us so much.
Yeah.
We love the fact that this is going out to a much wider audience than we used to be able to reach via Blog Talk Radio. We got kicked into YouTube kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
We're here. We're learning the controls. We're learning how to do better shows. And we just want all of you to give us a pat on the back. Give us a like. Subscribe. And share.
Right.
All right. Good night, all.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.